Well, good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing? Good to be with you this morning. Listen, we got lots of stuff happening tonight or this afternoon, 5 o'clock. Burgers and dogs, root beer, kegger. We're going to celebrate the summer, the beginning of summer. It's June 1st, people, and it's going to be an exciting month. We got camp coming up. Primary week is coming up next Sunday. A bunch of us will be down there and learning how to be peacemakers. One of the games I've made for the kids, they don't know this, the campers, is it's going to be, instead of family feud, we're calling it friendly feud. I've sent a survey out to every camper, 25 questions, and we're going to survey about 60 campers with the top two answers on the board. And whoever can get they're going to be selected. Whoever gets the top answer gets to be first in line at breakfast. What a motivation, huh? Yeah, going to be a lot of fun learning about peace. But those are the two things. Please come back at 5 o'clock, and we're going to be eating then and celebrating a lot of milestones that have been happening around here at Greater Alton. Okay, we've been looking at the many sides of God. We've been looking at all these characteristics of God. The Bible says that God is love. God is wise. It says things like God loves us like a mother. We've looked that God is jealous, and that's because he loves us so much. God don't want to share you with anyone. And we've learned about that just last week. And today I want to look at this idea that God is patience. And if you look at your bulletin, you'll find some set of notes. Look at this very first verse, and look who says it. It's Peter. God is patient. Of all the people in the Bible, that guy should know, right? Talk about a guy who was always sticking his foot in his mouth, getting in trouble with something, and Jesus, instead of wiping him out, keeps patiently trying to teach him, to hoping someday he'll catch it. And here he is, he says God is patient. He says that right off the bat in one of his books. What does it mean? What does it mean that God is patient? I can think about when I'm patient. Maybe you think about, that word patient. I think of hospitals. I've been to the hospital lately, not me, but my mother. And she's out now. She's home. She's doing much, much better. But there, for a while, was, and she's in pain. She's got all kinds of her blood pressure, all blood sugar. Everything's all over the road. And yeah, I could just see it. And whenever once in a while, I don't know what it is as a mama's boy. I got to admit, when mommy is in pain, I'm bothered. I can handle going to the ER. I can handle it. But when she's in pain, and I'm watching her wince and go, I don't know what it is, Tim. I hurt up here, I hurt down here, and all this stuff. And the Hebrew word behind this idea of the word patient in the Old Testament, it means like someone suffering through pain until things get better. Does that sound like a patient in a hospital? That they're going through, they're suffering through the uncomfortableness, the weirdness of the body, the pain shooting here and there until they get better. Another word for patience is long-suffering. And this is an interesting word because what it means is it means to take a deep breath. You ever had anybody say to you, you need to take a breath? Have you ever been so frustrated with someone or something and you just go, you're taking, what is that? You're taking a deep breath. That's the root of this word patience. It means to suffer long or take a deep, deep breath. Look what the Bible says here in Psalms 86. This is David speaking. And this is someone that God had been very patient with, if you know the life of David. But he says, but you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. Would you circle mercy and circle long-suffering? Those two go together. We'll see that in a minute. So when God, what's David saying is, Lord, when you look at my life, I've discovered something. I can hear you sometimes taking that long breath like counting to 10. Before you put your hand on me, you calm down. You're so compassionate, so gracious, and you put up with me. You'll suffer the pain I cause until I get better. And it comes from this mercy, and it's so true about you. I want you to see on the notes here, I wanted to cover this for a little bit. How is God patient with me? He's patient with me in three ways. First, he's patient with me with my wickedness. God is patient with my wickedness. You may not think of yourself as wicked, but the Bible says we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. We are wicked people. And you could, whatever particular sin, doesn't matter. Because we're wicked, we're sinful people. And God is patient with my sinfulness, with your sinfulness. Look at here in Matthew 17:17, David is speaking to some people. He's done some miracles and they just don't get it. And look what he says. You people have no faith. Your lives are all wrong. How long must I put up with you? This is God in the flesh going, how long am I going to deal with you? How long must I continue to be patient with you? And he goes on to say, you're like the generation that wandered in the wilderness when you came out of Egypt. You're just always pushing my buttons. You don't listen. You get caught up in idolatry. You fall way behind. You leave me. You rely on other nations. How long have we been doing this together? Since you've come out of Egypt. And finally you get in and you don't listen to me when you get in. And I told you, you better straighten up. You better think of what you're doing, because if you get away from me, things aren't going to work out. And you, what do? You act as if I don't say anything. How long do I have to put up with you? That's what he's talking about. He's talking about all these kings. You know, the kingdom of Israel split into two. And there was 19 kings in the north and 19 kings in the south. This is after Solomon. You had Saul and then Solomon and then David and then Solomon, and then the kingdom is split in two. And you see wicked kings, good kings, wicked kings, good kings, kings leading Israel away, kings bringing them back and forth, up and down. And if that's not enough, finally, here comes the Babylonian captivity. Half the nation's taken away in captivity. The other half is taken away. Then Persia gets it all. And this is how it is until Jesus. And Jesus says, how long am I going to put up with you? You know how many years you have between the Exodus and Jesus making this statement? You have 1,500 years. He's been waiting. Patient. Yeah, but didn't he come down on them? Yeah, but it wasn't punishment. Punishment means I'm done. Discipline means I still think you'll listen. And sometimes we get that, the pain of discipline and the pain of punishment mixed up, don't we? And he said, no, I put up with you guys and you come back for a while and I think, oh, it's going to be great. Then what do? You just off the road again. 1,500 years. And by the way, you may think I'm a pretty patient person. Would you wait 1,500 years, ladies, for your husband to finally pick up his clothes? Men, husbands, would you wait 1,500 years till finally your wife doesn't complain about something? Mom, dad, you finally, you know, I'll wait. I'm reaching in my rope. Kid, you're driving me up the wall. Well, how long have they been doing this? For about 2 months or 2 weeks. Try 1,500 years. 1,500 years. This is God's patience. Long-suffering. Agonizing. Hurting until it gets better. Somehow he just knows it's going to get better. And here comes Jesus Christ himself. Dies for our sins. Redeems mankind. Why? Why would he do something like that? I would have written us off. No, he's patient. Not wanting anyone to perish. But everyone to come to repentance. He wants to save us. And it's an act of patience that God, the cross is. It's an act of love and mercy and patience that he does this. And I want you to know this morning, God is patient with your sin and mine too. The Apostle Paul says it best, and maybe you've ever thought about this. I'm not saying we ought to have a contest to see who the worst sinner is at Greater Alton. That's a contest we don't need to have. But I'm sure some of you would say, I think I would rank right up there. Look what Paul says. He says, what I say is true, and you should fully accept this. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But I was given mercy, so that in me, the worst of all sinners, Christ Jesus could show that he has patience, catch it, without limit. You ever run out of patience? God never runs out of patience. Everything he does is out of patience, out of love, grace, mercy. And that grace and that mercy mingled together creates what we would think of as patience. You ever, think about this. There's times your patience wears thin, or you say things like, I'm sick and tired of this, or I can't stand it anymore. I'm about to lose my mind. You know, when God feels that way, he sighs. Long suffering until it's better. Ooh, that hurts. Oh, Tim, why'd you say that? Why'd you do that? Does God count to 10? Or does he count longer? Sometimes he counts longer for us, doesn't he? Yeah. And where does this kind of patience come from? It comes from his mercy. Bob Hawkins, you'll see on the notes, I was talking to Bob. He's going to be talking about God is merciful. He's going to be doing that in this series. And he says, you know, Tim, I don't know a lot about mercy. And I said, well, but he said this to me. He said this last week to me. He goes, God's grace gives me what I don't deserve. His mercy holds back what I do deserve. Think about it. That's really rich. That's so wise. I said, where'd you get that? He goes, I don't know. That's all I know about the mercy of God right now. And he's going to be, at the end of July, be talking about God is merciful. I hope he'll still use that line because it's really good for us to remember that God's grace gives me what I don't deserve, but his mercy holds back what I do. Why? Because it's mercy and patience you find together, over and over together in Scripture. That's how God is. You see, that's why when Jesus met people, whether you're demon-possessed or caught in the act of adultery, he didn't go grab a rock. He didn't do that. He didn't go with the crowd who would write you off. But he would go to the mercy of God, the merciful side of God. And instead of giving up, he would give discipline. He would give guidance. He would give direction. You can always count on God to do that. And by the way, as members of Christ's body, that's what people should count on us to do too. That we're not writing people off so quickly. How long do you share Jesus with a person? How long do you keep bringing up Christ? They're not listening. Well, how long do you keep talking about it? You talk about it until they're dead. That's what you do. You don't stop. You keep sowing seed. Why? Because that's exactly what God does. He keeps talking and speaking to us, sowing seed in our hearts, sowing his word in our hearts. He doesn't give up on us. He disciplines us, though. You see, in all your sinfulness, in all our sinfulness, we deserve to be just shot. But what's God do? He's patient with you. He's patient with your wickedness. Second thing he's patient with is your weaknesses. He's patient with my weaknesses. I heard a preacher one time say this. He was preaching a revival when I was a youth minister, and I went into his bedroom. He was staying at the pulpit man's house, and I knocked on the door, and I walk in. He's got a big old cigar in his fin, working on a sermon. Big old stogie, you know. And I look at him, I go, what in the world? He goes, Brother Gill, every man has his vices. What? What's he trying to say? It's true. Every one of us. You look up the word vice. You say, well, doesn't that mean every person has a sin, a habit, a moral failure? Yes. And weakness is also filtered in there too. Everybody has a weakness. What do you have a weakness for? Chocolate? My weakness is two letters. M and M. Man, oh man. That's what they stand for. Man, oh man. Great candy. Doctors say, I got doctor approval to have a handful of M&Ms every day. Truth. He nodded his head, he hesitated, and I said, I'll take that as an endorsement. Every man has their weakness. Every woman has their weakness. And it may not be M&Ms. It may be a little more serious, okay? It may be a lot of different things, but all of us have these weaknesses. And God understands that. Look what the Bible says here. This is the psalmist. He says, he knows, that is God, that we are weak humans. And look at this. I'd circle this two words there. He remembers. What's he remember? That he used dust to make us. What's he remember? He knows we're human, but he also remembers we're made out of dirt, that we are weak. Sometimes we don't have the strength, the character to follow through what we should do, to resist temptation. We're weak there. He understands that, and he's patient with that. He knows. God knows we're made. He made us with clay, and if we're like clay pots, there's a few cracks here and there. We've got those flaws. We've got those little weaknesses. That's why you have Moses making excuses. You ever made an excuse? You're like Moses. Jacob stretched the truth now and then. I identify with Jacob. My mother reminds me all the time, you're embellishing that story just a tad. Joseph was arrogant. David, well, you know what he was doing. Peter had a big mouth. And the Apostle Paul, well, he could be a little smug and self-righteous. Every person has a weakness. Every person has a vice. You're sitting next to somebody that has weaknesses. They're sitting next to someone that has weaknesses. We all have them, and God knows it, and he understands it, and he's patient with your weaknesses. I love this passage, Isaiah 40. Jim McGuigan, I heard him preach this way back in Tulsa. It says, God takes care of his people like a shepherd. He gently leads the mothers of the lambs. Isn't that interesting? Here's a mother, and she has some baby lambs, and instead of going, let's get this herd on the move, God's going, he says, I don't lead like that. I'm more gentle. I'm patient. I can't identify with sheep very well, this idea of sheep herding, but I know pigs. I grew up on a pig farm. Lots of pigs. And we had a thing called a hog drive every spring. About this time of year, it was time to move the pigs from one side of the farm to the other. And it was probably the length of a football field. You think, how hard is this? It could be very difficult. See, pigs are very intelligent animals. They question what you're doing. Unlike sheep, whatever you say, pigs are like, what are you talking about? And I remember Dad, we were not very good farmers. We didn't know what we were doing. First time we're running the pigs across, he's got a pig shocker or a prod, cattle prod. You've seen those. They look like a taser on a long pole. Well, my dad had an old kind. It was about this long and it had like six batteries in it, and he loved frying bacon. There they go. The pigs take off. And as soon as they come out, you know, I just remember now, they've been inside the barn all winter, and the little piglets have never been outside. And so the sow's coming out kind of going, what's going on? And the piglets are like, what is this? It's green. And they're jumping up and down and playing in it. And Dad's like, we haven't got time to play. And he said, the sow would take off. The pigs would scatter. They'd be everywhere. We even had a hog dog. I forgot to mention that, a hog dog named Fearless. That dog, you point, it would get the pigs there, could not handle this. The herd was scattered all over the place. We're running down pigs. And you just don't grab a small pig when the mama's around, guys. They'll eat you alive. So it would take hours. And then one time, I don't know if Dad talked to a seasoned hog farmer. I don't know. One day he goes, "We're going to try something different, fellas." What? Open the door of the barn and let's just watch what they do. Because pigs are very smart, the sows knew where they were supposed to go. They'd been the trip before. So they knew. And sure enough, he opens up the door and the sow comes out and does this routine. The pigs are jumping around, but they're not running everywhere. They're staying close to mommy. And the sow look up at us. "You going to hit me? You know that doesn't work." We're sitting there going, "Oh, we want, Dad's got his shocker. He's wanting to use it." And in less than 30 minutes, we've got them across the farm. And we didn't have to hit anybody. We didn't have to shock anybody. And this is the picture I get when I read that Isaiah 40. This is how God is. He goes, "Look, I'm not going to shove you and push you." And we should learn, church. We need to learn as members. People don't do well when they're pushed. Let them. They know what they're doing. They'll get there. And he gently leads those with young. Why? Because they're weak. These little piglets are weak. And mom, she's, you know, getting her legs under her now. It's tough. That's how God is. He puts up with your ignorance. He puts up with your immaturity. He puts up with our humanity. And instead of giving up, he gives help. He actually helps us. Look at this passage in Romans. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. He talks about we groan and we don't know how to pray, and God helps us in the same way his Spirit helps us in our weakness. He doesn't put up with our weakness. He helps us in our weakness. And when you reach out to God, and you call out on God's name and ask for his help, he will help you with your weakness. Here's the third area. God is patient with my preparation. I don't know how to say that. It may not be the best way to say it. Maybe God is patient with my process would be another way to say it. Look at this in 2 Peter 3:9 again. He is restraining himself on account of you, holding back the end because he doesn't want anyone lost. He's giving everyone space and time to change. Let's think about this for a minute. Most growth is over an extended length of time. Would you agree with that? Most growth, it isn't instantaneous. Preparation takes time. And sometimes it can be a long, time-consuming process when you're trying to make changes in life. You have to break habits. You have to learn new skills. One of my sons wanted to learn how to drive a stick shift. We're in the car together. It's not going well. You're not doing it right. You're like, "I'm trying." I'll forget. Finally, one of them just goes, "I give up." We'd only been going for 15 minutes. What's the problem? I'm the problem. I want to get this done. Let's go down the road. Here comes Denise. "Do you mind if I take a shot at it?" "Be my guest." 3 hours later, he's driving a stick. "What did you do that was different?" "Oh, Tim, I didn't yell at him if he ground the gears. If he killed the engine, I encouraged him." You weren't patient. You need to be patient. It takes time to learn. Did you learn how to drive a stick all of a sudden? And then I remembered my own life. No, I did not. I almost drove into a tree. Yeah. God is patient with the whole process. So he provides a learning curve. Isn't that great? He grades on a curve. He understands we don't get it right off the bat. And he's giving us what? Time to repent. The space and time, the freedom to grow. Again, this is a great lesson for us to learn with others. Do we give people time to repent? Do we give them freedom and space so they can grow, so they can change? So how do I respond to this this patient God I have. How to respond to his patience? Number one, be grateful for God's patience. Amen? Just be grateful. Thank God you're patient with us, Lord. David says this, I will praise you, Lord my God, with my whole being. I will honor your name continuously, for great is your gracious love to me. And then in verse 15 he says, Lord, you are a compassionate God, merciful and patient, with unending gracious love and faithfulness. Guys, this is an Old Testament passage. It says that God's patience is unlimited. This is the Old Testament. I thought Old Testament, he called down fire and killed people and wiped people, right? This is Old Testament. That God has got unending gracious love and faithfulness and patience. Colossians, look at Colossians 3 here. You are my people, you are the people of God. Wow. Paul reminds the church here at Colossae, as many times we do too, you are the people of God. He loved you, chose you for his own. How do you feel knowing that we're God's people? Chosen people. Loved people. Doesn't that feel good? So then, he goes, well, here's what you, how you should respond. You must clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You know, I'm so blessed that you put up with me. Some of you put up with me quite a bit. I looked over at Alan just for a second. Some of you put up with a lot of the quirks I've got, a lot of the nonsense I do. You put up with that pig story so well. Thank you so much. I thank you for that. I don't know if I ever thank you for putting up with me. You know anybody that's patient with you? You ever thank them? I have to tell my wife every once in a while, thank you for putting up with me. I know you wanted to work with the mentally ill and you got your dream, but I am so sorry, but thank you for putting up with me. You're nuts, you know that, don't you? Yeah, I know, and you're my psychologist. You're going to help me. We ought to thank people that put up with so much. But I'll tell you something. No one is as patient with you or I as much as God is. He just puts it up with it all. Waiting. Sometimes suffering, waiting for you to get better. And I'm just saying is that when I realize that, and I hope you do too now, when you think about this, that just this gratitude just wells up inside that makes you do the so then part. That because God is so patient, I'm so grateful. Thank you, God. And he goes, if you're thankful, that's great. Here's how you can express that thanks. What? Be this. Be compassionate and kind and humble and gentle and patient. Be that kind of person. With who? Just be that. And who doesn't matter. Just be that. Let your awe. And that's what I'm realizing. My awe for God, my admiration for God, motivates me to be like God. Does it do that to you? And to think that God's so patient with me, thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for being so patient with this church. We want to be like you, Lord. Here's number two. I use God's grace period to change. I love Joel chapter 2. Change your life, not just your clothes. Come back to God, your God. And here's why God is kind and merciful. He takes a deep breath. There it is. And puts up with a lot. This most patient God, extravagant in love, always ready to cancel catastrophe. You've heard of grace periods, right? Insurance companies, banks. Credit card companies, they may give you a grace period, 30 days or so. And what's the grace period for? Well, you may have forgot to pay your bill. Or maybe you weren't able to get, you didn't have enough resources yet. So we're going to give you a little bit of grace period to get it right and give you a little more time so you can pay the bill without a penalty. God gives you and I a grace period. How do I know that? Because we can sin and we can mess up and lightning doesn't strike us immediately. He gives us time. He puts up and gives us time. He cancels the catastrophe. There's holding back. There's the mercy. Holding back what I deserve. To give me time. You see, I know there's times it's time to work on me. There's times we can be foolish. We can lax things. We can forget. And God says, look, I'm giving you time. And listen to me close here, church. God's saying, take advantage of that time. Take advantage of that second chance. Take advantage of the space and time that I'm giving you. Now, there's two ways you can take advantage of it. Here's the first way. Look at Ecclesiastes 8. Because God does not punish sinners instantly, people feel it's safe to do wrong. There's one way to take advantage of it. Well, nothing's happened. My house didn't cave in. Nothing bad happened. I guess God thinks it's okay. Really? That's taking advantage of God's patience in a poor way. But here's the other way. Look at this. Romans, again, Paul reminds the church, all the different churches of this. And here in Romans, he says, don't you realize how patient he is being with you? He's talking about God here. Or don't you care? Can't you see he's been waiting all this time without punishing you? To give you time to turn from your sin? His kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. Take advantage of the patience of God. Take advantage of the mercy of God by working on you. Not letting it slide. Number three, one of the ways I can respond to God's patience is just be patient with God. I love this. And again, David, be patient and trust the Lord. Don't let it bother you. Would you circle that? Don't let it bother you. Don't let it bother you what? When all goes well for those who do sinful things. A lot of times when stuff is happening during the whys in life, why are they getting away with that? Or why is this happening? That's when we lose our patience and we begin to have a lack of trust in God. You ever wanted God to hurry up? Yeah. And the Bible's filled with passages. Where are you? Get over here. I remember Matt Schilling one time, send some choppers, send some choppers. He'd leave a message. What's that mean, Matt? I'm about to do something stupid. I need some backup. I need some help. And sometimes we'll say, God, send some choppers. Now, I need you to do something now about this. But the thing is, because God is patient, listen, because God is patient, he tends to do things slower than what we expect. If God is patient, he's going to, what did Peter say? God is not slow like you think he is. Yeah, he's slow. No, he's patient with you. And because, patient people, my dad used to say this word, they saunter. What's saunter? Saunter along. But God's too slow. I want it now. Let me tell you, if God was in a hurry, you could not keep up. Thank God he's patient. Thank God he slows down at a speed you and I can handle. And the thing is, see, the reason God can be patient and take his time is because he has all the time. I just don't have enough time. Where am I going to find the time? Well, that's because you and I have a limit of time. God has all the time. One day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day. What is he saying? He has no stopwatch. He has no watch. He is time. He's beyond time. So that's why he's seldom in a hurry. And since God is patient, that means he does things in his own time, which is the right time. It's on your time schedule, Lord. You know when it's time. I don't. So I'll trust. So I have to, whether, do I trust his timetable? Do I trust his ways? That's what it comes down to. I do a lot of, I sell stuff on eBay. Not as much as Brian. Brian is like in a totally different level, on steroid level, okay, to me. I have 175, 171 items on eBay. And I'll sell maybe one or two a week, maybe, if I'm lucky. I listed two yesterday. He told me, if you feed the monster, they will put your name up higher in the list, and you'll sell more. And I go, what do you know? Well, I don't know. I've got about 18, 20, I don't know how many thousands of items. And I thought, well, I'll give it a shot. I tried it. He was right. He was right. Do one here, one there. Next thing you know, I'm selling stuff. I get this particular customer. They live in Chicago. It's a 5-hour drive. I send him a package. United States Postal Service is having trouble, folks. They've been losing money. I think I know why. It took 2 weeks to get to Chicago. And I tell Brian, I go, what's the deal? He goes, don't you worry, Tim. He has that laugh. Don't worry. That package will get there. So I don't believe him. I don't believe him. Guy emails me, I haven't got my package. I want my money back. And what do? Well, I got 100%, you know, good feedback. I don't want to lose that. So I send him the money back. Kid you not, 3 hours later, I get a notification. Your package arrived. Do you mind giving me that money back? I never heard from him. I turned him in. I got my money. But what are you saying, Tim? I'm saying is that I finally had to go to the postmaster. I talked to my local postmaster and I said, listen, what's going on? He goes, well, I don't know if you know this or not, but we're having a lot of trouble delivering packages. Yeah, I'm getting complaints about, I'm getting all kinds of complaints. What can you say? What are we going to do? He goes, well, you've got my word on this, Tim, as your postmaster. I go, what is it? That package will get there. It might take 3 days. It might take 2 weeks. But be reassured, it will get there. So now when I sell a package, Brian, what I've been doing, you know what I've been doing. I write in there, I show him the receipt, a picture of the receipt. I just dropped it off, and buddy, I don't know when you're going to get it. The U.S. Postal Service, as you know, is having trouble. Sometimes it takes 3 days. Sometimes it takes 2 weeks. But I've been assured by my postmaster that the package will get there. Please be. And you know why I get every response? Thank you. Thank you. No negative press, no negative feedback. And every once in a while, it gets there in 3 days. But most of the time, it takes about 2 weeks. The master of all masters says, you can count on my promise to come through. I know you think, you might think I'm too slow. You might think, but I want to reassure you. Sometimes it comes in a matter of days, and sometimes it might take a couple of weeks. Heck, it might take 6 months. But my promise is not slow. It's going to come when I want it to in your life. You just need to trust me. Trust my timetable. Trust my wisdom. Trust my patience. And I will come through. I love this here in Hebrews 10. You need to keep on patiently doing God's will if you want Him to do for you all that He has promised. So what do I do with God's patience? I need to give Him some slack. I need to wait on Him. I just need to keep trusting Him and do His will. Even if I don't get any results immediately, they're coming. And lastly, another way I can respond to the patience of God is practice patience for others. Just have patience. Be patient with other people. This is the point that I'm dealing with constantly. And I left it in. You know, sometimes preachers don't want to put a point in that messes with them. but this messes with me because I'm just a very impatient person. And I, especially it seems like in our culture today, there's just everybody's on edge. Really quick to be offended over anything and everything. And not giving some people some grace, a grace period or some room to grow. Look at the Bible says here in Colossians. Paul said, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. So church, when you're tempted to be disgusted with the behavior of another, or you're tempted to punish somebody who has wronged you, just remember God's infinite patience that He has for you. Let that temper how you treat people. That's what I'm doing, and it's actually working. Give them a grace period, like the Lord gives you. So, let's wrap this lesson up. You got a card in your bulletin if you want to respond to this lesson with a comment or a prayer request. We'd love to pray for you specifically, so if you'd like to do that, you can do that, and you can put that card in the baskets as you leave, along with everyone's contribution. Again, if you're a guest here, we're not asking you to give to this church. We're not really concerned about that. We want you to get something more than give something. If you want to give, you can. The baskets are in the back as you leave. But on that card, maybe you'd like to just pause and think about what would be a good response to this card. Maybe it's, Lord, I need to be grateful. I just need to be more grateful for your patience. You have been patient with my sin and my weaknesses, and even the whole process, you've been gentle, not shoving me or pushing me or forcing me. You're allowing me to fall and get back up, and you're there to help me. Maybe it's something like, Lord, you know, help me take advantage of your patience. To trust you again, to trust you more. Or maybe there's somebody you're thinking of, I just need to be patient with those people. And I hope that maybe today you've gotten kind of like a booster shot of patience from God that'll help you address that person this week. We're going to give you some time to fill out this card, and then we're going to be done for the day, and we'll see you at 5:00. Let's pray together. Father, we pause and praise you for your unlimited patience with us. You suffer over our sins and weaknesses. You draw a long breath in our progress as believers. Thank you, Father. We deserve your wrath. We really do. But you hold it back out of your mercy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We promise this morning to use your grace period to repent of our sins. We also realize that your pace is shaped by your patience. That you don't act as quick as we'd like. But we're deciding this morning we're going to trust your wisdom and timing over ours. Father, to be honest, putting up with others is pretty difficult. They test our patience, and we often fail. In fact, many of us here this morning are thinking of a person we have trouble making allowances for. We have trouble forgiving. And thinking of your forgiveness to us is overwhelming, and yet it's convicting. The more we think about it, the more you fill us with your mercy. Lord, help us keep your patience in our minds as we look at ourselves and live with others. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
You are forever in my life. You see me through the seasons. Cover me with your hand and lead me in your righteousness, and I look to you, and I Lord.